The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
One of my favorite topics is demographics. I have a strong belief in demographics, although I think they've been kind of, I think monetary policy has kind of thrown them off a little bit, but basically we always turn back to demographics and really what's going to happen going forward. And the man that I'm about to bring on is the person that I learned most of my demographic information from and continue to do so through dent research. And so we're going to let Rodney talk a little bit about dent research in just a moment. But I'm pleased to have with me today Mr. Rodney Johnson. Rodney works closely with Harry Dent at Dent Research. Rodney's career started in the 1980s with Thompson McKinnon, then Prudential Securities. He worked on the bond desk at the time, I think. He's a regular guest on many radio shows. You know, he needs to be a regular guest on mine. I think we need to bring him on more often. But he is somebody you really need to listen to. As I was talking to you at the beginning of the show today, this is a person who can take very complicated topics and bring it down to a level in which you and I can understand. So I'm pleased to have my good friend Rodney Johnson on with me this morning. Good morning, Rodney.
Good morning, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Well, it looks like today's Fed Day, and it looks like they're not going to raise interest rates. And I noticed that there was an article this morning that basically says that, and I really haven't talked about it, but even though a lot of people are talking about it, the market itself, the market participants, are only putting a 28% probability that they're even going to raise rates anytime this year. What is your thought about all this? Should they be raising rates? I mean, some people have come out and said, oh, go ahead and raise them already. Let's just get it over with. Should they be raising rates? Will they raise rates? You got any thoughts in this area?
Yeah, I do. I'll tell you, I don't think they're going to raise rates today. I thought they did for a long time. I thought they were going to raise rates 25 basis points and basically leave it there for the rest of the year. Typically, what happens when the Fed starts a rate-raising direction, they'll raise rates at every meeting for the next 10 or 12 meetings. This time, I think it's going to be very different. When they do start to raise rates, I think they'll raise it one step, wait several meetings, another step, wait several meetings, so they're kind of easing us into it. I think that's what they should do. I think they should start today, but more importantly, no matter what they do, I think they should actually tell us what's going to happen. The saddest part of all this is the Fed now holds a press conference right after their meeting, and they answer all sorts of questions. They're trying to be more transparent. And what we've learned from them being more transparent is they have no idea. And that's not a very comforting thought.
Right.
So you have the people out there who are setting monetary policy for the most important currency and economy on the planet who are telling you, well, we could change our minds tomorrow if we got a new data point. What they should instead do is say, look, this is where we're going to go for the next 16 months. This is what you can expect, and this is how you can have more confidence in the monetary policy of the nation. And they're not doing that.
Speaking of monetary policy, has monetary policy circumvented demographics? Because I keep looking at the chart that I from Harry's first book in 1993. It seems to me right now that we should be in a lackluster market. Things should be not going very well, and we certainly shouldn't be at an all-time high. And yet we are, and a lot of people, as you know, have constantly said that the reason we're at this high is because all this Fed money has gone into the markets. Has monetary policy circumvented the demographics? And what is the risk of having had that taken place?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question that monetary policy has created an artificial force in the markets. And you know, you can argue about banks and having more assets and then taking risk and all sorts of things. There are two, three, four iterations away. But take the easiest one. The Federal Reserve printed money starting in March of 2009 to buy Treasury securities, which we all know, but don't forget mortgage-backed securities, which people don't talk about. Mortgage-backed securities. What they were trying to do, and they did, was force down the cost of mortgages, meaning interest rates. Well, when they force down the interest rates so that mortgages are cheaper, they also force down what you and I as investors can get on bonds when we buy them. And so they're telling people who are planning for retirement, planning for anything, who would normally buy bonds, you will not get as much money when you buy these things. And so the people who normally would have bought them have to move to something else that gives them a greater return. They just do. And so that has been stocks, even if it's dividend stocks or whatever you want to say that are income producing, you're still moving into equities and causing this force to move into the stock market that would not have been there. And that's just one sliver of what they've done. So to say that they've kind of run roughshod over demographics and how that would be affecting the markets, absolutely. Demographics you can point to and say we've had very low labor force growth, which has caused a slowdown in productivity to one of the lowest levels over the last 30 years. And so we don't have this kind of supercharging force in the economy. It's one of the reasons that we have GDP growth that is around 2% each year. I mean, every year the government says, gee, it's going to be 3%, 3.25%. And then after the first quarter, it's like, well, maybe not really. Maybe we're going to be back around 2%. We expect that to go on for some time. So they've run roughshod over many things, including demographics, and you can see it in a lot of aspects of equities.
What grade would you give the economy? I mean, I remember reading, about a year and a half ago on the show that this is when unemployment was much, much higher, that the Fed's target was 5.5, and that when you get down to 5, you pretty much have a fully employed economy. We seem to be moving that direction. Of course, they continue to ignore people that have just kind of given up and are not participating in society. But basically, what grade would you give all this? I mean, is this just a false economy that we have?
I don't think it's false. I think the markets are giving people a false sense of where we are. People look at the stock market and say that's an indication of health of the economy. It's like, well, that's an interesting idea. We're near all-time highs, having hit them earlier this year. Let's go out and ask the average person, the median income earner in the United States, do you feel better off than you were 10 years ago? And I believe the answer would be no, because they are spending more and getting less. And yes, there's a higher cost of health care, higher cost of education, wages are stagnant. All of these pressures are coming to bear on the median person, and so they're not moving forward. The idea of full employment driving the economy, what's supposed to happen is when you get to a level of full employment, around 5%, it's kind of the normal number as you mentioned, you're supposed to see a bit of a bidding war for the next worker so that they earn more money, and that drives up their ability to spend so that they have a higher standard of living, and they, of course, spend money, which means somebody else has a job that pays more money, and it becomes this virtuous cycle. We're not seeing that. What we're seeing is falling unemployment, but wages aren't moving. And so the question is, well, how does that happen? And you mentioned in passing there the people who kind of gave up. You have a lot of people on the sidelines who aren't really included in these numbers for a number of technical reasons, and they come back into the market whenever there's kind of this increase in the need for workers, and it keeps a lid on what would be rising wages. And so you have a weird situation where the economy is moving forward in the same fashion we thought it would when you and I talked about demographics 14 years ago,
right?
That we have a very low level of economic activity, you don't see wages moving, and people are not seeing their standard of living move forward.
So I guess it's too late. We've got less than a minute to go to ask this question. But when we come back, Rodney, I'd kind of like to know how all this ends. I mean, every economist that I get on this show, bar none, I try to ask them how all this is going to end. We have deficits that are at levels that, frankly, I think most people, including myself, would have never thought that we'd be counting deficits in the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. It just seems that things, like you said, are just not really what they seem, and are not as great as it is the numbers appear. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Folks, we've got a great show today. We've got Rodney Johnson with Dent Research with us. Hope you stay with us. You're listening to Straight Talk Money, where we bring you the wisdom of Wall Street each and every day. We'll be back in just a moment.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We're having a great day on the show today. We've got with us Rodney Johnson from Dent Research. And Rodney, let's start out, as a matter of fact, talk to the folks about Dent Research. A lot of people, of course, know about Harry. He continues to, in fact, he's been making a lot of headlines lately, more so than usual, I think. But a lot of people remember the HS Dent Association. What is Dent Research, and how can people contact you, and what can they get from you?
Well, we're the same organization, just on steroids. We are a bigger organization and able to do more research, and we look at populations and how they age and how people spend money as they age. And without paying attention to monetary policy and what the government wants you to do by lowering interest rates or this, that, or the other, most people make decisions based on where they are in their lives, you know, young and going to college, getting married, buying furniture, having kids, buying all the things that happens with kids, and then along the way starting to save for retirement. And so we watch those trends, how people actually spend money, pair it with the number of people that are in the economy at each of these ages, and then we estimate how things are going to change over time. And so we call it demographic consumer spending patterns. And it's very interesting. It's great for business owners who are looking at their potential markets and what's coming in the years ahead in terms of population change and what might fit. And it's great for investors, and certainly people are making their own investment decisions. And so we provide all of that through our website, and you can find us at harrydent.com. So we're pretty easy to find. We have a daily e-letter that we send out, a free daily e-letter. And if people like that, they can sign up for our monthly newsletter called Boom and Bust.
Okay. All right. And I recommend you do so, folks. It is great information. Rodney writes a lot for that. And Rodney, yep. By the way, you're a great writer. I mean, I love I love reading your articles. I mean, you're really, really great. All right, let's talk about something, and it's hysterical, because this morning, Rodney, every day I get to talk about Greece. Yesterday I was so bored talking about Greece.
Whether you want to or not.
Yeah. Yesterday I was so bored, I didn't even call it Greece. I just said it's the place they have feta cheese. Just because I'm just tired of talking about it. And what was interesting is this morning I relayed to the audience headlines that came out of Bloomberg 3 minutes apart yesterday. One was Greek seeks delay to delay June IMF payments for 6 months. That was at 7:06. At 7:09, Greek government official denies report seeking delay IMF payments 3 minutes later, which, of course, you know, that's impossible to get a response from any government within 3 minutes. So, you know, people are kind of confused about Greece. It doesn't seem like it would matter. I think it's got the GDP of Maryland. What's all the ruckus about? Why don't they just leave?
Well, Greece doesn't matter from the standpoint of what happens with us, what happens with me and you and what's going on. Unless you happen to be going to Greece for a vacation, you're probably not touching their economy because they don't export very much. They export some oil products that they have refined, which they really haven't done much to, and they have a lot to do with some shipping, but that doesn't really have a value-added piece. What really Greece matters for is their place in the euro, because the euro is supposed to be one of those one-way decisions. You join the euro, and you cannot leave. You'll never leave. Things will always be this way, which on the face of it makes no sense whatsoever, because there aren't any decisions like that in life. And so if they set the precedence of leaving, then perhaps the next country that has significant financial issues, call it Portugal, call it Italy, call it Spain, which are much bigger economies than Greece, could say, you know what, we're kind of done with this, and we don't want to go down this long, tortured path that Greece did with all these negotiations and craziness. We're just going to call it quits today and get out. That would be the problem for the euro. That's what the European Central Bank is trying to get rid of as an idea, is that you can actually back out of the euro. The problem is, of course, that Greece keeps kind of flouting everything that they're told they have to do, which they agreed to by contract, by the way. They agreed to cut their pensions. They agreed to cut their social payments. They agreed to privatize all these things so that they would be able to pay more of their bills. And now they're saying, not so much. That would be painful, and we don't want any pain. And so it's this back and forth where both of them are better served by them staying in the euro, because if they left, the European group would have a problem with everybody else. If they left, the Greeks would have a problem because they would immediately have very high inflation internally, and it would be a very painful adjustment. The problem is Greece is going to go through a painful adjustment no matter what they do, whether they stay or go. Overwhelmingly, the Greeks want to stay. They keep voting they want to stay. This is all just negotiation. We think they're going to stay. It's going to be some protracted deal. There's going to be more changes at the edges, but they'll stay in the euro because it's better for everybody. I just wish we could go back to a time where Greece meant Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta, because I'm tired of talking about these people.
I agree with you. All right. Man. We didn't delve as much as we should have, I think, in interest rates in the last segment. Where do you think interest rates are going to go? You know, people extrapolate. It's really interesting. I mean, when you when you talk to people about interest rates, they immediately are in their mind are still thinking that they're going to get that 5.5% CD in a year or two. Bernanke, of course, said otherwise in a speech he gave in Florida last year. Where do you think interest rates are going to go, and how quickly are they going to get there?
I think interest rates are going to be low for a long time. And it's interesting you pull the number 5, 5.5 out. When interest rates started walking lower in late 2007, early 2008, we had CDs at 5%.
Right.
And yet that just seems like forever ago, you know, and it is. It's 8 years ago. But the point is, we were in a different economy, and it comes back to something we talked about in the previous segment, where we're in a low economic activity environment, which is marked traditionally by low interest rates. The Fed did a lot to push down long interest rates, but that was kind of at the beginning of all of this. If the Fed stepped away from the whole thing, would rates go up? No, probably not, because they haven't been buying for a while now. They've kind of been on the sidelines. I think rates will remain low on the middle of the curve, as you call it, 7 to 10 year bonds, and certainly the longer end, 20 to 30 years. And I think that the Fed might raise short-term rates to 25, 50 basis, maybe even 75 basis. It's still less than 1%. You're still not really getting anything for your money. You're still below the rate of inflation on your savings account. And so I think you're going to see the short end move up a little bit, but not much. And I think you're going to see the long end stay low because we just don't have the economic activity that would drive it higher.
All right. So when you say low, what is low? I mean, what
I think
do you think?
I think, go ahead.
No, what do you think the range is? I mean, somebody out there, I mean, because you have, as you know, a lot of baby boomer retirees, either currently retired and a huge amount still headed that direction. And, you know, these people are desperate for income. I mean, they really are. It's sad sometimes to work with folks who weren't able to save enough for one reason or another, and they really were looking forward to, you know, having 5, 6, 7% CDs, and they suddenly are faced with this reality. What kind of, I mean, when you say low, I mean, Japan, as you know, has been near a zero interest rate for a couple of decades now. Is low, you know, 1%, 2%? What are we looking for?
I think low is less than 1% on one-year money, call it CD money, so 50 basis points to 1%. And I think long-term, you're looking between 2.5% and 4%. I would be really surprised to see us get above 4% in the next several years on 30-year bonds.
Could we possibly look like Japan and go decades this way?
I don't think so. And you asked a point, how do you get out of this, as we went to break. And there was a story this morning that what we're looking at is rising birth rates. For the first time in 6 years, we had more babies in 2014. That's the key. Americans like to have kids, and we like to see all those guys run around, you know, all these rugrats. And so rising families, growing families, that's the key to a growing economy. And if we can turn the corner on births, then we're a few years away from spending a bunch of money on all that kid stuff, and that's what starts to grow the economy.
Rodney, can you stay with us for just a few more questions?
Sure.
I appreciate it. Thank you. We're having a great show today, folks. Hope you stay with us. We've got Rodney Johnson with us of Dent Research. We'll be back in just a few moments. You're listening to Straight Talk Money.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Well, as you know, it's rare that I hold a guest over to the third segment, but, you know, this gentleman is just one of, first of all, I admire him personally, and he's one of my favorite people on the planet, but he's also one of my favorite guests, and we've had with us today Mr. Rodney Johnson from Dent Research. And so I wanted to ask Rodney a few more questions before I let him go. And Rodney, we haven't talked much about the stock market. You know, a lot of people think it's overvalued. What amazed me is that we haven't at least had a nice correction. I think we're going almost on 4 years now without a correction. Are we at least going to get a correction out here somewhere? You and I probably both differ with Harry a little bit because he's looking for something much more significant. But I'm just talking about a regular old correction. Are we? I know we're due for one. Is there anything that's ever going to cause this thing? Putin didn't cause it. ISIS hasn't caused it. China hasn't caused it. What will cause us to have a correction?
Well, it could be something as mundane as Chinese stocks. And I think that's a possibility. The Chinese property market has rolled over a little bit. It didn't implode, but it's really not looking healthy. And the Chinese investors moved from property to stocks, and they started using margin to do it. The market has shot up dramatically, up more than 100% in the last year, up 60% since the start of this year. And I think an implosion there could roll into the other markets. It could just be something here in the United States where credit kind of slows down. And people just kind of stop spending on credit, which we have, by the way. We do not spend on credit like we used to. The increase has been in student loans and some cars. And so I think we're set up for a market correction. I think everybody's looking for it around the next corner, and it will be self-fulfilling once it starts to occur. People say, okay, that's it. I'm getting out too. And it becomes people leaving the market because other people are leaving. How long it lasts, that's a really good question. I think it depends some on what goes on in Europe, if they actually have an implosion in debt, and then, of course, as I said, what happens in China, because I think their landing, their downturn into a recession, could be much harder than people are making it out to be, because most of their wealth, over 75%, is tied up in property, and if that starts to go south, it's going to be really ugly there really fast.
Well, wow, that sounds like California, where all your assets are tied up in property.
Yep.
And so now let's look forward, however. Jeremy Siegel, who is the most optimistic economist news guest that I know of, he says that he thinks that 20,000 is the top of the Dow, that he can't make an argument above the market going above 20,000 on a PE and all these other factors. At 18,000, that means we're within 10% of that number. Are we in for a sideways market? When I came into business in the 70s, we went sideways more than we went up or down. Or is that the kind of market we need to prepare for a while?
I think we do, actually, for a little while. I think you'll have a downturn. I think it could be fairly sharp and fairly ugly. I think we do get a rebound, but then I think people are going to be somewhat cautious for a while. But where it goes after that, now I'm talking several years away, I think it could be much brighter than people are looking for. Not because everything's going to be rosy and sunshine and we're going to have all this wonderful new stuff that gets a valuation, but just because we have so many people with dollars chasing investments and they don't have many other choices. And you're going to look around and say, are you going to have the average guy putting money into private equity or going out and buying businesses? That's not what happens. When you prepare for retirement, you tend to put your money into this game called the equity markets, or at least a portion of it. We think of that as the United States. Think about it in global terms. I mean, the Germans are older than us, the Italians, the French. I mean, we are kind of the young guy on the block in terms of developed nations, and we're all moving toward retirement. We're all looking for paper assets. And so I think valuations could move beyond what they've been in the past as we see the boomers go through this long period of retirement.
So the world is getting older, I guess
yep.
is what you're saying. All right, so
absolutely.
when do you expect a real life pickup in the market? I've seen some charts. I've seen some evidence that it's looking like it's in the early 2020s, 2022, 23, something like that. It's where you begin to get a next boom, if you will, of young folks actually creating consumption and spending again. What do you see?
That's exactly where we are. And we've been talking about this, by the way. You mentioned Harry's first book from 1993. It's in that book, 2020, 2024. We would go into a downturn around 2008, 2009. It would last 12 to 14 years, and then we would come out. I mean, the numbers are all there based on these generations doing the normal things. The boomers slow down their spending. They start preparing for retirement, takes the economy into a funk for a while. Their children, being the millennials, come into their own as adults. They start having children in the late 2010s, and by the time they're having larger numbers of children, which, by the way, there was a story this morning about more children being born in 2014, we start to have this run-up of spending on kids, and it drives the markets higher. So we're right in the same timing of the early 2020s.
Okay. Is there anything that worries you out there? You're a bright guy, and you look at a lot of things. And so I'd like to know if there's anything that keeps you up at night that you think is not being addressed appropriately.
I worry about some of the big things. I worry that there's going to be a nuclear weapon. Because you say the Iranians are after a nuclear weapon. Well, remember, I mean, the Russian satellite nations broke off, and those nuclear weapons are still sort of accounted for, but still sort of not. And so you have a lot of splinter groups who would love to do something in a big way. I worry that as we develop more of our energy infrastructure, that the Middle East becomes less important to us, and so we don't give as much attention to it, and some actors over there decide they want to make a big statement and they blow something up. And I think that could change the world dramatically.
Wow, interesting. Listen, Rodney, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate you sharing your insight.
Thank you both.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.